This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got some tickets to give away coming up. Padres, Rockies tomorrow night. The Joe Musgrove bobblehead giveaway. So you'll be listening in the next 30 minutes. I'm going to do a Joe Musgrove-related trivia question.
Oh, boy. He's very excited.
I think you can get it. I don't know. I'll be curious to see whether you get this one right or not. But that's coming up, your chance to win tickets to tomorrow's Padres-Rockies game. First 40,000 fans in attendance will receive a Joe Musgrove bobblehead. That is coming up.
Okay.
All right. Why don't we just get right to the Rondle Report?
Let's do it.
I know we get a lot from this weekend that we haven't gotten to yet.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rondle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rondle Report. With Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right. Good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
Rondle Report brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League. The Frozen Ropes is now registering ballplayers age 6 through 12. Go to SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com for more information. I don't know if this was on the air, off the air, but very briefly, we talked earlier about Paul Skeens making his debut. We teased that a lot on Friday.
Yeah.
Talked with Jordan from Cespedes Family Barbecue. Jake was out there.
Jake was there, yep.
I saw the rain was nasty.
Gnarly.
Before that game. They weren't sure if they were going to get it in, but they did. I tuned in. Man, watching Paul Skeens strike out his very first batter in his MLB debut was pretty electric. Kind of an up-and-down debut for him. He hit 100 miles per hour on 17 out of his 84 pitches, and the Pirates beat the Cubs 10-9 on Saturday. Box score here for Skeens in his debut, 4 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts.
Do you like the name of his signature pitch?
The Splinker.
The Splinker.
Did you see it?
It's amazing.
Good God, when he locates that thing.
It's a weird name.
Unreal. Splinker.
You know, so the sweeper is the big thing right now, but I don't know if you've heard, Mutt Grant refuses to call it a sweeper. He calls it a slurve.
Yeah, the slurve.
It's a slider-curve combination. They used to call it a slurve. Now they kind of call it a sweeper, more side-to-side break than up-and-down break necessarily. The splinker is the combination between a splitter
and a sinker.
And a sinker.
Yes.
A splinker.
Stupid, dude.
What's I just don't understand the difference. The splitter sinks. That's when you throw a good splitter. Like Mariano.
It falls off the table, but you can't throw a splitter 95 miles an hour. Paul Skeens.
A sinker you can throw 95.
Correct.
So his is
correct.
A splitter that he's throwing 95,
yes.
So they don't know what to call it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So they call it a splinker. What did Mariano Rivera throw?
Cutter.
I thought it was a splitter.
No, cutter.
He threw a cutter. I thought it was
just
a splitter.
Just a cutter. No, just a cutter.
I thought it was just the split.
That's what he's known for.
Because his ball broke down.
No, his
in, down and in.
He did. He would go a right-hander. He would throw it at you. Start at your hip. And
yeah,
it would. And
down, yeah.
But it was.
To the right.
But it was hard. It was mid-90s.
Hard, down, and to the right.
Sometimes. He could throw a cutter anywhere he wanted to. But this splinker is nasty. Now, look. I watched the game. I was waiting to go into my shrink's office. She was running behind. I said, no problem. I'll sat in my car and watch Skeens throw. And I didn't get to the really weird part of the game where the Pittsburgh relievers came in and walked 6 guys in. Six
in the same inning. No team had walked in six batters all season. They did it in one inning.
Did you see Grandal?
It separated around a two-hour rain delay as they continue to walk batters in.
Yasmani, at one point, he's the catcher for the Pirates, stands up. He goes, "What the F?" He just yells it out. That is so frustrating.
Who's the other great pitcher? Jones?
Jaron Jones.
So with those pitchers, you think Pirates could be dangerous, but then you look and see them walking six batters.
They didn't. Yeah, the bullpen did.
But I'm just saying, you see why there's some weaknesses there.
Well, they're not going to throw Jones and Skeens for 110 pitches each game. So you're right. The bullpen is going to be
a factor. Now, I'm looking forward to when the Padres play the Pirates and Luis Arraez faces Paul Skeens.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
The sprinkler going against the splinker.
The splinker. It's nasty, dude. His fastball's dirty. I mean, look, it's not the Steven Strasburg line. You know, after that game, what did Strasburg strike out? 14? Struck out 7. It was fun to watch him pitch. I'll say that. It was.
He lived up to the hype.
He's pretty dynamic out there on the bump, dude.
Speaking of Strasburg, that's the comparison that everybody had all weekend, that debut from 2010. So, fun fact, when Steven Strasburg made his MLB debut 14 years ago, the Pirates' leadoff hitter in that game was Andrew McCutchen.
Correct.
When Paul Skeens made his debut on Saturday night, the Pirates' leadoff hitter, Andrew McCutchen.
Yep.
It's going to be much older Andrew
much
McCutchen.
Older. Yes.
All right. Moving on. Not really a headline-worthy story here, but maybe the best in-game promotion I've ever seen at a baseball game. This was up in Seattle at T-Mobile Park, they call it?
Yeah.
And it's still a Safeco Field to me, but T-Mobile Park, they had hot dogs raining down on the fans little parachutes.
That seems like a mistake.
When you think that you have come up with a really good bit for the ballpark, whatever it may be, whatever your ballpark is, whether it's a sausage run or whatever it is, you're
the
like
Anchorman Run.
Yeah, the Anchorman Run. You're like, all right, this is really well done. The folks in Seattle are just like,
hold my hot dog.
Yeah, hold my hot dog. Look at this. Have you
seen where were they coming from? I'm watching it now on our YouTube
channel.
Above, I get it. Drones?
Or not drones. Parachutes.
I know, but something
climbed
up there. I don't know.
I want to know who was dropping them. Were they coming from a plane in the sky? Where were they coming down from?
I think it was drones.
It says on the board, hot dogs from heaven. They were playing Belinda Carlisle. Heaven on Earth.
Heaven is a place on Earth,
Heaven is a place on Earth. And everyone's looking up, and there's just hot dogs.
Parachutes.
Raining down with little parachutes onto the crowd. It was unbelievable.
I still don't know where they're coming from, though. And now, I've seen them do hot dogs in the T-shirt can, and that can go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Because they get unwrapped, and all of a sudden, you just have bits of, you know, sausage flying everywhere.
From heaven.
From heaven.
Heaven.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Hot dogs dropped on parachutes, but I don't know from whence they came. I really don't know.
That's my question.
Are they up on the
heaven, I guess. I don't know how they did that.
Adam says in the chat, drones were dropping them?
Or, yeah, maybe.
It's possible. Drones. You got to judge the wind and everything.
No, you don't. You just got to get them down there.
I mean, did some of them land on the field? What happened? What happens if they go off course?
It's
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Is it possible you could be just walking outside the ballpark and randomly a hot dog just drops into your lap?
It's raining hot dogs.
You know, like when I work the Seals game.
What if you want condiments? Do they come down too?
I think you're screwed
there. Just plain hot dogs.
Plain wieners.
Condiments for the wieners?
When I work the Seals game, and you'll have a little bit of a lull sometimes, and when that T-shirt cannon comes out, and those free shirts, and the plastic, the little rubber balls come out, you would think that they're throwing out $100 bills. I'm like, I've actually said in the mic before, I've said, hey, get on your feet and pretend we're throwing out T-shirts.
So where we sat on Friday night down the third base line was right where the ball girl
sits.
And every time there's a foul ball, 70 kids run right down, right past me, because I was sitting around in the aisle there, to see if she will hand them the ball. There's also a few adults who go and do it, and that is a bad look, guys. That is a bad look. If you're over the age of 14 or 15, don't be sprinting down for every foul ball to see if the lady is going to hand it to you into the stands. Catch one yourself, or let the kids go get the foul balls that are just handed to people.
It is one of those things where it's like, if you do it now at Petco, you've stolen the idea. But that's okay, because burritos,
tacos,
churros. Susan Ayer says burritos from heaven.
Churros from heaven would be incredible. Everybody
cans of $3.94.
Yeah, yeah. Beers from heaven. Man.
I'm all in. I am all in.
I am too. Yeah, it's great.
All right. And then finally, with Mother's Day yesterday, happy belated Mother's Day to all of the moms in our Tier 1 audience. I did find a couple lists going around. I know we love our lists here.
Yes,
but
we do.
I thought this was one we could actually kick around a little bit. We talked about the best moms over the weekend, but this list is the worst moms.
Worst mom list.
In TV or movie history.
Oh, I've got some ideas.
Now, they started with one that I think is already up for debate. Skyler White from Breaking Bad. Now, she was involved in some pretty sketchy business.
Down the road. She was taken aback
by... I don't know that she was a bad mom.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think
she was put in a really bad position.
She really was.
By
Walter
her husband,
put her in a really bad position. And in order to preserve your... You know, in, I guess not innocence, but preserve your life beyond what he's already done. Yeah, you had to probably help him out and make some moves, which she did. But I always thought she was a good mom. I thought she was a really good mom, and I thought she was a really good wife. Put up with a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This person doesn't have a name. Her name is Stifler's mom.
Stifler's mom.
Stifler's mom from American Pie.
She was a great mom. Not for him, but for some of the other local neighborhood kids.
Young men.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stifler would probably say, yeah.
Stifler would probably not be a fan.
Stephanie Smith, that is the mom from 8 Mile, B-Rabbit's mom.
Horrible.
Not a good mom.
You've never seen 8 Mile.
No.
Shakes his head. She's terrible.
Bad mom.
Bad mom. You can to two kids. To B-Rabbit and the other, his little sister. Yeah, yeah. Terrible.
Kate McAllister.
Horrible.
Home Alone.
How you leave twice? And I understand that you...
She felt really bad about it.
Twice. She went through hell and back to get back and all that, but that's... She did also banish Kevin to the attic, like the night before. I've sent my kid to my room. I've never said, get in this box.
It's a lot of stress when you have family over for the holidays.
Yeah, it's true.
I do understand.
She left him twice, though. Two times you left on vacation.
Once, you understand. The second time,
you
were a bad mom, yeah.
Ginger from Casino.
Oh,
Ginger McKenna.
The worst. I just watched it over the weekend. It was on. The worst. She takes their daughter, Amy, with her boyfriend to somewhere, L.A., and they're doing blow in front of the daughter. And she looks at her daughter and says, never do this. And she rips one off of the mirror.
What about Angela Bauer from Who's the Boss?
She a bad mom?
Well, she was always working, left the kids with Tony, the housekeeper, all the time.
But
he was a good housekeeper. She hired a good housekeeper.
I don't know if you know this. Some single parents have to work. She's great. She's a great mom.
She was very stressed all the time, though.
She was stressed.
High strung.
Yeah.
I think this one takes the cake for me. Gemma Teller from Sons of Anarchy.
It's not even close. It's terrible.
I mean, the absolute worst. Right?
Yeah.
What was the show set in Oceanside with kind of a similar crime family? She was gnarly, too.
Oceanside.
Yeah. With like an FX show recently.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Someone in the chat's going to know this one.
I'm looking in the chat right now. People are adding theirs. Carmela Soprano.
Animal Kingdom.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
Was Carmela a bad mom?
Yeah.
I have a hard time reconciling that one. She had to put up with a lot. He's no prize, Tony. Right? I think she did good. Remember she almost threatened to kill that lady if she didn't write her a letter of recommendation to Georgetown? I think that's pretty cool. Made her that pie. You will write this letter. You will write this letter. I think that's good. She did whatever she had to do. Thank you, Paulie. Appreciate you.
The mom from Waterboy.
She was conniving. Adam said she was conniving as Tony. She was pretty conniving. That's true. Sometimes you have to do that, though. You have to be conniving.
All right, we've got some Padres tickets to give away. I've got a Joe Musgrove trivia question that I'm curious to know whether Woods is going to get it correct when we come back. I hear the music. I don't see the hot dogs raining down.
I'm just trying to put it out there in the universe.
Now I'm hungry, and I have no
little hot dogs.
Hot dogs from heaven at the moment. We'll be right back after this. Check traffic on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I just had a Rindle report. Didn't discuss the NBA playoffs. Didn't discuss local soccer, the Wave. Didn't discuss golf. I need you to pick at least one of those this segment so I can just get some sports off my chest after 3 hours and 22 minutes.
Go ahead.
I've got some sports. You pick. I won't do all of them.
Oh, what'd you say? Golf?
Golf, basketball, soccer. Those are like the three that I haven't gotten to yet. So you think about that while I throw out the trivia question for the Padres tickets.
Okay.
If you want to try to win, we've got 833-288-0973. You can call now. Winner's going to get a pair of tickets for tomorrow's Padres-Rockies game. First 40,000 fans will receive a Joe Musgrove bobblehead. Get your tickets now at padres.com/tickets, or you can win them, but you need to answer my Joe Musgrove trivia question. So here it is. Paulie knows the answer. Woods doesn't. In Joe Musgrove's no-hitter, who recorded, who made the final out for the Texas Rangers of that game?
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say, all right.
Who made the final out of that game for the Texas Rangers?
You were going to say Ha-Sung Kim? I was going to say Ha-Sung Kim to Jerickson Profar, who caught the final out.
I'm
going to
give you a clue,
first.
Too. He now plays for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Who
was the batter who made the final out? You remember it was that ground ball to short, right?
I do remember,
To second?
Short.
Short, yeah,
short. Kim to Profar.
Profar. But who was the batter? The final out of the Joe Musgrove no-hitter.
Plays for the Rangers.
You did play for the Rangers. Now he plays for the Blue Jays.
I mean, plays for the Blue Jays.
Yeah. 833-288-0973.
Do we want to take these on the air or off the air?
Take them on the air.
All right, we'll take them on the air. All right, let's go. Caller number one, let's go.
All right, who's this?
Who's this? You're on the air.
Jacob Stewart.
All right, Jacob
Stewart.
Who made the final out for the Rangers in Joe Musgrove's no-hitter?
IKF.
God, he's right.
Yes. What did he say?
IKF. Isaiah.
Oh, I thought he said I can't.
Kiner Falefa. No, I can't. I'd be wrong, but IKF is correct.
Boom.
Great job, Jacob.
You win.
Excellent.
Took
work.
One caller. We get the answer correct right off the bat. So you win the tickets to the Padres Rockies game. Hang on the line. Paulie will get your information and get you to the game. Nice job. He had to pull that one out, too.
I thought he said I can't.
I
thought he bricked on it. Yeah, I thought he bricked on the whole thing. All right, go ahead and give me some NBA, Ben. I'd like you to catch me up with the NBA.
So the big stunner from the NBA weekend looked like the Denver Nuggets, the reigning champions, were dead. Down and out. They lost the first two games at home to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're done. They come back in Minneapolis and win games 3 on Friday and 4 yesterday on the road.
Series tied at 2.
And now they have tied the series back up and heading back to Denver for a game 5. So the idea of back-to-back or repeat is once again very much in play for the Denver Nuggets. After it looked like they just didn't quite have it this year, and maybe it wasn't going to be enough, Jokic and Murray not 100% healthy. Now they look like, okay, how are you going to beat them 2 out of 3 in this series going forward when they have 2 games at home and they are now playing well again? So that kind of changes the entire complexion to me of the postseason. Same thing with so the road team has won every game in that series. The home team has won every game between the Knicks and the Pacers.
Yep.
Pacers won easily. Huge win yesterday.
Like 121 points. Yeah.
121-89, 32 points. Yeah. So they've tied the series up at 2. Still, you know, the Knicks have held serve at Madison Square Garden, and they go back for Game 5. The other two series are 2-1, Celtics over the Cavs. They've got Game 4 tonight in Cleveland. The big question there, I saw Donovan Mitchell is questionable, which if he can't go, I mean, the Celtics already were big favorites in that series. They dropped the one at home, but they bounced back with a big game to win on Saturday to take the 2-1 series lead. If Mitchell's out, Celtics win tonight, I think it's pretty much over. And then the Mavs are up 2-1 on the Thunder. I thought the Thunder were the team to beat, the number one seed, but the Mavs can take a 3-1 lead at home tonight with Doncic and Irving has been playing pretty well in the series. So big one tonight for the Thunder as they try to even it and get back to home. So the semifinal series have been pretty interesting in the NBA playoffs. And you saw maybe over the weekend, Frank Vogel was fired by the Suns.
Yep. And they already hired
Mike Budenholzer. Already been replaced. The former Milwaukee Bucks coach is going to take over in Phoenix.
They say it's not a series until somebody wins on the road.
What if happens if every road wins?
It's not a series until somebody finally wins at home.
And maybe the Nuggets will finally do that on Tuesday. So
Joey just said in the chat died the moment Basketball Ben pops out. Yeah, it'll happen.
It does.
It'll happen from time to time.
Yeah, there he is. That's why I waited 3 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah, makes sense.
Talk a little basketball.
Joey wants more Dodger hate. No problem. We can deliver that to you as well.
I also did feel bad for Xander Schauffele not getting it done yesterday.
Did he not get it done, or did Rory just
really
get
took it from him? It's like Rory's favorite course in the world. He plays so well there. Xander didn't do anything wrong other than he didn't make putts.
Another second-place finish for Xander.
So Xander gets second again. He literally did not, I think 12 feet, 2 inches was the longest putt he made all week. He was there. He had tons of chances and just couldn't make anything. Rory had the flat stick going, shot a 65 yesterday to steal it away from Xander, who has still gone almost 2 years without winning on the PGA Tour, even though he's the number 4 ranked golfer in the world. But now Rory's pretty hot going into the PGA Championship this week, which Scottie Scheffler didn't play this week. So Scotty won his last start, Rory won his last start, and Brooks Koepka won his last start on the LIV Tour. All three of them going to be together this week for the second golf major of the year, the PGA Championship at Valhalla, which makes for a pretty interesting tournament this week in major number 2.
That's this weekend.
That's this week, yeah. Yeah, Thursday through Sunday, second major of the golf season coming up this week.
Okay, very good.
All right, that is it for we got our Padres tickets given away. All right, we got one segment left to go. We'll get you ready for the Padres-Rockies series. Again, can't take these Rockies lightly. They found something at least the last couple of days, playing some better baseball. We'll get to look ahead coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Don't forget to tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben Woods, Annie and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. Should I not refer to myself in the third person when I do that?
Say, you do it
featuring
again?
Ben and Woods,
oh,
Annie
yeah.
and Elston, and Gwen and Chris.
No, it's fine.
You say featuring me and Woods, Annie and Elston,
no,
and Gwen and Chris.
No, Ben and Woods is the name of our show.
That's what I think so, yeah. too. So just leave it at that. So we'll talk to you on Thursday.
You haven't reached that level of diva.
I'm not.
Yeah, you're there. You're close, but you're not that... Ben does not like when you do this. Ben is very sad when you do this, make this move.
Go Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, full on. Yeah, Benny got 15 year. I got 10 year. Man, Benny got 15 year. Yeah, don't do that. That's when I'll know I've lost you
safe,
entirely.
Safe on that one, though.
Safe, okay. Yeah, you're safe. It's Ben and Woods. It's the name of the show.
I think the Padres, I don't know if the players will feel this way, but there will definitely be an atmospheric letdown at Petco Park the next 3 days.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, it won't have, it's not the weekend.
It doesn't have the same juice.
You won't have the Dodgers fans marching down Fifth Avenue on their way to the game, riling everybody up.
Very cool, by the way.
Everybody in their feelings. You don't have the superstar players coming in like Glasnow and Ohtani and Betts and Freeman the way that the Dodgers do, to just kind of amps everything up for a series like this weekend. The Rockies are the opposite of that. Rockies come in bereft of stars. Their biggest star player is still probably Charlie Blackmon, who's had a 0.0 war this season.
Zero.
The guys who are performing a little bit better for them, like Ryan McMahon and Brenton Doyle, are not.
Local kid Sean Bouchard's playing really well for them as well.
Household names. Oh, yeah, Sean Bouchard is. He has a negative 0.1 war.
He's been hot lately,
though. They've won four straight games, including a sweep of the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers. So you certainly can't take them lightly.
No.
Even though they're 3-16 on the road this year. It's just one of those.
It's a trap.
Yeah, there you go. Admiral Akbar says this series is a potential trap for the San Diego Padres.
Can't happen, man. Just cannot happen.
You want to find a way to make these games
laughers.
Well, just you have to treat them like you're playing the Dodgers.
I need three laughers is what I need for my mental health. I think we all do.
I loved how the Padres treated the games. They were important, but it wasn't like circle the calendar over the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Bro, they ran out against James Paxton. They ran out in an all right-handed lineup. It had Kyle Higashioka in it. It had Ozokar in it. You know, listen.
I mean, if it was a playoff game, you would not see
course,
that lineup.
Of course.
But it was not a playoff game. It's just another regular season game.
They did not change really anything. I mean, and I saw a Dodger fan yesterday saying, oh, man, using your closer in a non-safe situation. I thought to myself, you clearly haven't watched Padres baseball. Like, of course you're going to go to Robert Suarez for those last three outs. It's not even a question.
There was never even a thought.
It wasn't even a thought. And Mike Schilt's not in the business of collecting saves for Robert Suarez. Trust me. He'd like to get his guy saves, but he doesn't give a rat's ass about that at the end of the day. You want to win that game and win that series, and you don't want one bit of drama. Had he gone to Yuki Matsui or somebody in the ninth, I would have lost my mind. I think we all would have. You have the most reliable closer in baseball. Great. It's not a save situation because it's 4-0. Who cares? Who cares? Like, get those last three outs.
I think it's fine. Now, does it put his availability into question?
Not really. Not if it's a three-out save. He's 320.
Not tonight, but, you know, if there was two in a row, at some point, you know, you're going to have to make the decision when he needs a day off.
Hence the laughers.
That's why you need a win, at least one win by 5 or 6 runs where you're not having to use the back end of your bullpen, give Robert Suarez a day off.
And I'll tell you, like, this is where, if Xander's going to continue, you know, he's had a good end, not have a good series up until that point. If Manny is going to continue, you know, this is where we need those guys to lead us through. Yes, we need them again. We needed them against the Dodgers. They didn't really deliver until Xander's last two ABs yesterday. But this is really when you need your stars to say, don't sweat it. We've got this. Like, we're going to take care of business against the Colorado Rockies, man. You got to have your Tatis, Manny, Xander.
What is Tatis having a good season or not?
He is. Yeah, he's having a good season. He's having a good season.
He had a good season last year.
Yeah.
He felt like
I'm not
it wasn't
worried
quite
about
good
I'm
enough.
Really not worried about Tatis. I really am not overly
concerned.
You
know, over the last week, I've watched some of his at-bats, and I go, he's a little out of sync. He's not quite himself. But then I also looked at the numbers and go, he's hitting like .320 over the last 10 games or something, and not a lot of extra base hits, but he had the huge home run yesterday. Is he locked in? Is he not locked in? He's just not quite.
I'm not worried about
him.
I'm not worried
super
about him, but
concerned.
We haven't seen Fernando Tatis Jr. at his full capabilities, I think, yet this year. We certainly haven't seen Manny at his full capabilities, and we definitely haven't seen Xander at his full capabilities. That's three players, not one of them has really gone through an epically hot stretch. Manny had a hot-ish week. You know, Tatis has kind of flirted with being hot a few times this year. He's, you know, he has, what, seven homers now? Eight
home runs, yeah.
I mean, he's flirted with being hot.
He's batting 257, OBP 335, slugging 449, OPS is 784. You'd love to see him get that OPS over over 8. You'd love to see Manny, you know, get that over 8. You'd love to see Tanner get his over 6, you know, at this point.
I mean, you can argue that none of those guys are having a good season until their OPS is at least over 800.
Yeah.
They're not there yet.
They're kind of all hovering around it. But Tatis, out of those three, is the one I'm probably the least concerned about. I know Manny is going to be able to produce with the glove, which is huge. It's not like defense does not matter. It absolutely does. And we know how much Mike Schilt prioritizes defense. When Manny Machado is playing third base, you feel great anytime a ball is hit in his general direction. So he's helping you there, certainly. But yeah, man, this is that series where if you're going to get it going, this is the guy to do it against tonight in Dakota Hudson. So, I mean, we need that. Manny just, like, for him, I mean, he's my favorite baseball player. So, like, I watch what he does with the glove. The arm looks fine. I don't know if he feels good when he swings. I have no idea. He just looks a tick off. The bunt yesterday was really, really concerning to me. The squaring to bunt is first at bat. I get it. You want to bring Muncy in. Hey, let me get him in, see if I can rip one by him. I understand all that. But then to actually drop one down, pop out, was not great, in my opinion. And I think Manny needs to get, you know, start swinging the stick a little bit better than he's capable or like he's capable of doing. It's been a tough watch right now. He's flailing at the first pitch a lot, which he does, first ball hitter. But just put together an AB, man. You're one of the best hitters out there. You just got to start playing like it. That's it.
Now, from a Rockies perspective, you're looking at tonight's game and going, we kind of got to get to Randy Vasquez because Dylan Cease is waiting in game two tomorrow. Michael King is waiting on Wednesday, coming off what he did on Friday against the Dodgers. You're not loving either matchup there. So, you know, Rockies have won 4 in a row. They're going to go, let's come out firing and win this first game of the series. Take it to Randy Vasquez early. Vasquez looked pretty good his last time out. Let's see. Last start was 4 1/3 innings, 1 run. Now, Padres did lose that game to the Cubs 3-2. He's also gone 5 innings, 1 run against Toronto. And he did face Colorado on the 25th. That was the game that Padres lost when Dakota Hudson pitched 2 2/3, 4 earned runs. So yeah, He'll need to do better than that against the Rockies.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I'm excited to see what the offense can do the next few nights. And again, with the Rockies, you got to play good defense. Stay playing really good defense. Base running is continuing to be a little bit entertaining for this team, and I know they're going to try to get that figured out, but yeah, man, a really encouraging day yesterday for Jackson Merrill. Not really hit well at home. Looked pretty locked in yesterday.
I'm not, I know Jurickson and Profar, it always looks bad when you get caught stealing the second before a guy hits a home run. Like, well, you just threw away, you just lit a run on fire and that you didn't have to do. I understand being aggressive. Xander Bogaerts has not been hitting for extra bases. You want to get yourself in scoring position. If Xander does, you know, bloop one in, he's gotten some singles lately. You can score from second base. I understood the aggressiveness of Jurickson Profar.
Sure.
It was a close play at second base. He was out, but
I don't really mind.
I didn't mind that.
I don't really mind being aggressive on the base path. It's just, I don't get picked
just
off.
Just looks really bad when the guy after hits a home run.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right, we got one more check of traffic here. Get you ready for Annie and Elston coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. See Ollie Marmol get run yesterday for the St. Louis Cardinals.
One of the better ejections you will see.
Now, they were frustrated. The Cardinals had lost 7 in a row going into that game, I think. And they got frustrated early in the game because they needed to use both of their replay reviews on fairly obvious plays, one on offense, one on defense, on just play. I think it was just calls at first base that they got wrong. And he decided, I'm just going to go and just vent all of my frustrations on the umpire in the hopes of firing my team up. He even admitted after the game, I was really out there. The umpires, those are good umps. They do a good job. I was out there to try to fire my team up and to get ejected. He did. Bench coach did. And it worked. They were down 3-1 at the time. Cardinals rallied for a 4-3 win over the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't think I could do that, though.
Like, get ejected on purpose?
Get ejected on purpose. Like, fake enough anger at something when I'm not really feeling that anger to, like, scream. And we're showing, Paulie's got the video up. Like, screaming at a guy where you don't really even think he necessarily deserves it. I am here just to get ejected.
I absolutely could do that.
You could do it. Oh, for sure you could do it.
I haven't done it.
But he genuinely, he didn't look like he was acting. He looked
no,
hot.
No, he was very, very hot.
He looked very hot.
Did you guys see yesterday, you ever see a guy break a bat before, like during the swing? Matt Carpenter came up, swung at a pitch, did not touch the pitch, the bat broke. The old Matt Carpenter wet noodle. He goes to swing at the pitch. The head of the bat goes flying. The handle is in his hand.
It must have been broken before he went up to home plate.
Must have been broken. He just swung and it just... I have never seen it in all my years at any level. Ever, he goes to swing and it just flies away, never even touched the pitch. Now, I don't know if he
still was holding the handle?
He was holding the handle. I don't know if the pitch before had come in and he might have snapped it up there.
I did not see that.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, Drew says it's like a golf equipment. I've stepped up to the tee box and swung and the head goes...
But usually when you at least make contact with the ball, that's when it comes off. Not just on a swing and a miss, it actually snapped.
Oh, my God, dude. I was... I couldn't believe it. And I tell you, you talk about flashbacks. I got those flashbacks of Matt Carpenter swinging that wet Union Tribune up there every single day, just soaking wet. Just
it does remind me. I can't imagine that the reason the bat broke is because Matt Carpenter has the best bat speed out there, especially at his age now. But they did release this weekend some new like troves of data.
Oh, this was
regarding bat speed of Major League Baseball players, and there were a couple of interesting things that involved San Diego Padres. First of all, the guy who swings the hardest in Major League Baseball, on average, not going to surprise you, Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees. No one swings hard. He averages more than 80 miles an hour. Even like Shohei Ohtani only averages about 76. Giancarlo's quite a bit above.
That's his average.
He almost never shortens up and slows down his swing. He just swings as hard as he can almost every single time. The slowest average bat speed in all of baseball belongs to Luis Arraez. Doesn't swing hard. Averages closer to like 60 miles an hour. Just pokes at it. Tries to make contact.
That's the bat-to-ball skills right there.
Interestingly, some of the slowest bat speeds in baseball are some of the more effective hitters. Stephen Kwan is the second slowest. He's almost as good of a hitter and good as getting on base as Arraez. Justin Turner is like one of the slowest bat speeds
really?
In baseball, but he's still performing. All of the guys with the slowest bat speeds have OPS plus they're above average offensive players, despite the fact that, yeah, you're not getting a ton of power because you're not swinging very hard. So I thought that data was very interesting. And Mike Petriello also pointed out one more thing that was very curious. They looked at it from the pitcher's perspective. Which pitchers do batters swing the slowest against? And the pitcher who gets the slowest swings, like the worst slowest swings against them all season.
This is awesome.
Is Robert. Don't forget to tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. Should I not refer to myself in the third person when I do that?
Say, you do it
featuring
again?
Ben and Woods,
oh,
Annie
yeah.
and Elston, and Gwen and Chris.
No, that's fine.
You say featuring me and Woods, Annie and Elston,
no,
and Ben
and Woods
Chris.
Is the name of our show.
That's what I think so
yeah.
too. So just leave it at that. So we'll talk to you on Thursday.
You haven't reached that level of diva.
I'm not
yet. You're there. You're close, but you're not that. Ben does not like when you do this. Ben is very sad when you do this. Make this move.
Go Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, full on. Yeah, Benny got 15 year. I got 10 year. Man, Benny got 15 year. Yeah, don't do that. That's when I'll know I've lost you
safe,
entirely.
Safe on that one, though.
Safe, okay. Yeah, you're safe. It's Ben and Woods. It's the name of the show.
I think the Padres, I don't know if the players will feel this way, but there will definitely be an atmospheric letdown at Petco Park the next 3 days?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, it won't have, it's not the weekend.
It doesn't have the same juice.
You won't have the Dodgers fans marching down Fifth Avenue on their way to the game, just riling everybody up.
Very cool, by the way.
Everybody in their feelings. You don't have the superstar players coming in like Glasnow and Ohtani and Betts and Freeman the way that the Dodgers do, to just kind of amps everything up for a series like this weekend. The Rockies are the opposite of that. Rockies come in bereft of stars. Their biggest star player is still probably Charlie Blackmon, who's not, he's had a 0.0 WAR this season.
Zero.
The guys who are performing a little bit better for them, like Ryan McMahon and Brenton Doyle, are not.
Local kid Sean Bouchard's playing really well for them as well.
Household names. Oh, yeah, Sean Bouchard is. He has a negative 0.1 WAR.
He's been hot lately.
He's been hot lately, though. They've won four straight games, including a sweep of the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers. So you certainly can't take them lightly.
No.
Even though they're 3-16 on the road this year. It's just one of those.
It's a trap.
Yeah, there you go. Admiral Akbar says this series is a potential trap for the San Diego Padres.
Can't happen, man. Just cannot happen.
You want to find a way to make these games
laughers.
Well, just mean as much. You have to treat them like you're playing the Dodgers.
I need three laughers is what I need for my mental health. I think we all do.
I loved how the Padres treated the games. They were important, but it wasn't like circle the calendar over the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Bro, they ran out against James Paxton. They ran out in an all right-handed lineup. It had Kyle Higashioka in it. It had Ozokar. You know, listen.
I mean, if it was a playoff game, you would not see
course,
that lineup.
Of course.
But it was not a playoff game. It's just another regular season game.
They did not change really anything. I mean, and I saw a Dodger fan yesterday saying, oh, man, using your closer in a non-safe situation. I thought to myself, you clearly haven't watched Padres baseball. Like, of course you're going to go to Robert Suarez for those last three outs. It's not even a question.
There was never even a thought.
It wasn't even a thought. And Mike Schilt's not in the business of collecting saves for Robert Suarez. Trust me. He'd like to get his guys saves, but he doesn't give a rat's ass about that at the end of the day. You want to win that game and win that series, and you don't want one bit of drama. Had he gone to Yuki Matsui or somebody in the ninth, I would have lost my mind. I think we all would have. You have the most reliable closer in baseball. Great. It's not a save situation because it's 4-0. Who cares? Who cares? Like, get those last three outs.
I think it's fine. Now, does it put his availability into question?
Not really. Not if it's a three-out save. He's 320.
Not tonight, but, you know, if there was two in a row. At some point, you know, you're going to have to make the decision when he needs a day off.
Hence the laughers.
That's why you need a win, at least one win by 5 or 6 runs where you're not having to use the back end of your bullpen, give Robert Suarez a day off.
And I'll tell you, like, this is where, if Xander's going to continue, you know, he's had a good end to not have a good series up until that point. If Manny is going to continue, you know, this is where we need those guys to lead us through. Yes, we need them again. We needed them against the Dodgers. They didn't really deliver until Xander's last two ABs yesterday. But this is really when you need your stars to say, don't sweat it. We've got this. Like, we're going to take care of business against the Colorado Rockies, man. You've got to have your Tatis, Manny, Xander.
What is Tatis having a good season or not?
He is. Yeah, he's having a good season. He's having a good season.
He had a good season last year.
Yeah.
He felt like he wasn't quite good enough.
I'm really not worried about Tatis. I really am not overly concerned.
You know, over the last week, I've watched some of his at-bats, and I go, he's a little out of sync. He's not quite himself. But then I also looked at the numbers and go, he's hitting like .320 over the last 10 games or something, and not a lot of extra base hits, but he had the huge home run yesterday. Is he locked in? Is he not locked in? He's just not quite.
Put it this way, I'm not worried about
Fernando. I'm not worried about him, but concerned.
We haven't seen Fernando Tatis Jr. at his full capabilities, I think, yet this year. We certainly haven't seen Manny at his full capabilities, and we definitely haven't seen Xander at his full capabilities. That's three players, not one of them has really gone through an epically hot stretch. Manny had a hot-ish week. You know, Tatis has kind of flirted with being hot a few times this year. He has, what, seven homers now? Eight
home runs, yeah.
I mean, he's flirted with being hot.
He's batting .257, OBP .335, slugging .449, OPS of .784. You'd love to see him get that OPS over over 8. You'd love to see Manny you know, get that over 8. You'd love to see Tanner get his over 6, you know, at this point.
I mean, you can argue that none of those guys are having a good season until their OPS is at least over 800.
Yeah.
They're not there yet.
They're kind of all hovering around it. But Tatis, out of those three, is the one I'm probably the least concerned about. I know Manny is going to be able to produce with the glove, which is huge. It's not like defense does not matter. It absolutely does. And we know how much Mike Schilt prioritizes defense. When Manny Machado is playing third base, you feel great anytime a ball is hit in his general direction. So he's helping you there, certainly. But yeah, man, this is that series where if you're going to get it going, this is the guy to do it against tonight in Dakota Hudson. So, I mean, we need that. Manny just, like, for him, I mean, he's my favorite baseball player. So, like, I watch what he does with the glove. The arm looks fine. I don't know if he feels good when he swings. I have no idea. He just looks a tick off. The bunt yesterday was really, really concerning to me. The squaring to bunt is first at bat. I get it. You want to bring Muncy in. Hey, let me get him in, see if I can rip one by him. I understand all that. But then to actually drop one down, pop out, was not great, in my opinion. And I think Manny needs to get, you know, start swinging the stick a little bit better than he's capable or like he's capable of doing. It's just been a tough watch right now. He's flailing at the first pitch a lot, which he does, first ball hitter. But just put together an AB, man. You're one of the best hitters out there. You just got to start playing like it. That's it.
Now, from a Rockies perspective, you're looking at tonight's game and going, we kind of got to get to Randy Vasquez because Dylan Cease is waiting in game 2 tomorrow. Michael King is waiting on Wednesday coming off what he did on Friday against the Dodgers. You're not loving either matchup there. So, you know, Rockies have won 4 in a row. They're going to go, let's come out firing and win this first game of the series. Take it to Randy Vasquez early. Vasquez looked pretty good his last time out. Let's see. Last start was 4 1/3 innings, 1 run. Now, Padres did lose that game to the Cubs 3-2. He's also gone 5 innings, 1 run against Toronto. And he did face Colorado on the 25th. That was the game that Padres lost when Dakota Hudson pitched 2 2/3, 4 earned runs. So yeah, He'll need to do better than that against the Rockies.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I'm excited to see what the offense can do the next few nights. And again, with the Rockies, you got to play good defense. Stay playing really good defense. Base running is continuing to be a little bit entertaining for this team, and I know they're going to try to get that figured out, but. Yeah, man, a really encouraging day yesterday for Jackson Merrill. Not really hit well at home. Looked pretty locked in yesterday.
I'm not, I know Jurickson and Profar, it always looks bad when you get caught stealing the second before a guy hits a home run. Like, well, you just threw away, you just lit a run on fire and that you didn't have to do. I understand being aggressive. Xander Bogaerts has not been hitting for extra bases. You want to get yourself in scoring position. If Xander does, you know, bloop one in, he's gotten some singles lately. You can score from second base. I understood the aggressiveness of Jurickson Profar.
Sure.
It was a close play at second base. He was out, but it was.
I don't really mind.
I didn't mind that.
I mean, really mind being aggressive on the base path. It's just, I don't get picked
just
off.
Just looks really bad
it
when
does look bad.
The guy after hits a home run.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right, we got one more check of traffic here. Get you ready for Annie and Elston coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. See Ollie Marmol get run yesterday for the St. Louis Cardinals.
One of the better ejections you will see.
Now, they were frustrated. The Cardinals had lost 7 in a row going into that game, I think. And they got frustrated early in the game because they needed to use both of their replay reviews on fairly obvious plays, one on offense, one on defense, on just play. I think it was just calls at first base that they got wrong. And he decided, I'm just going to go and just vent all of my frustrations on the umpire in the hopes of firing my team up. He even admitted after the game, I was really out there. The umpires, those are good umps. They do a good job. I was out there to try to fire my team up and to get ejected. He did. Bench coach did. And it worked. They were down 3-1 at the time. Cardinals rallied for a 4-3 win over the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't think I could do that, though.
Like, get ejected on purpose?
Get ejected on purpose. Like, fake enough anger at something when I'm not really feeling that anger to, like, scream. And we're showing, Paulie's got the video up. Like, screaming at a guy where you don't really even think he necessarily deserves it. I am here just to get ejected.
I absolutely could do that.
You could do it. Oh, for sure you could do it.
I haven't done it.
I mean, but he genuinely, he didn't look like he was acting. He He looked hot.
He was very, very hot.
He looked very hot.
Did you guys see yesterday? You ever see a guy break a bat before, like during the swing? Matt Carpenter came up, swung at a pitch, did not touch the pitch. The bat broke. The old Matt Carpenter wet noodle. He goes to swing at the pitch. The head of the bat goes flying. The handle is in his hand.
So it was already broken before he went up to home plate.
Must have been broken. He just swung and it just fired. I have never seen it in all my years at any level ever. He goes to swing and it just flies away. Never even touched the pitch. Now, I don't know if
he still was holding the handle?
He was holding the handle. I don't know if the pitch before had come in and he might have snapped it up there.
I did
but,
not see
oh,
that.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, it's Drew says it's like a golf equipment. I've stepped up to the tee box and swung and the head goes.
But usually when you at least make contact with the ball, that's when it comes off. Not just on a swing and a miss, it actually snapped.
Oh, my God, dude. I couldn't believe it. And I tell you, you talk about flashbacks. I got those flashbacks of Matt Carpenter swinging that wet Union Tribune up there every single day, just soaking wet. Just
it does remind me. I can't imagine that the reason the bat broke is because Matt Carpenter has the best bat speed out there, especially at his age now. But they did release this weekend some new like troves of data.
Oh, this was
regarding bat speed of Major League Baseball players, and there were a couple of interesting things that involved San Diego Padres. First of all, the guy who swings the hardest in Major League Baseball, on average, not going to surprise you, Giancarlo Stanton of the Yankees. No one swings hard. He averages more than 80 miles an hour. Even like Shohei Ohtani only averages about 76. Giancarlo's quite a bit above.
That's his average.
He almost never shortens up and slows down his swing. He just swings as hard as he can almost every single time. The slowest average bat speed in all of baseball belongs to Luis Arraez. Doesn't swing hard. Averages closer to like 60 miles an hour. Just pokes at it. Tries to make contact.
That's the bat-to-ball skills right there.
Interestingly, some of the slowest bat speeds in baseball are some of the more effective hitters. Stephen Kwan is the second slowest. He's almost as good of a hitter and good as getting on base as Arraez. Justin Turner is like one of the slowest bat speeds in baseball, but he's still performing. All of the guys with the slowest bat speeds have OPS plus. They're above average offensive players, despite the fact that, yeah, you're not getting a ton of power because you're not swinging very hard. So I thought that data was very interesting. And Mike Petriello also pointed out one more thing that was very curious. They looked at it from the pitcher's perspective. Which pitchers do batters swing the slowest against? And the pitcher who gets the slowest swings, like the worst slowest swings against them all season.
This is awesome.
Is Robert Suarez, where opposing teams are only swinging an average of like 64, 65 miles an hour against him, I think it was.
It's that thing of like,
it's coming in so fast, they're just trying to trying to shorten up and try to hit it. But when they do, guess what happens? It doesn't go very far. He gives up a lot of fly balls, just middle outfield fly balls, because guys aren't putting their big swing on it. Only 10% of swings this season against Robert Suarez are considered like powerful swings, like full power swings.
Well, what do they always say? What did your dad used to yell at you from?
He's throwing hard. Let him provide all the power.
The faster it comes in, the further it goes. Dad, shut up. You see this shed this guy's throwing right now?
But that is a bit of a fallacy. In golf, they also thought for a long time, swing easier, the ball goes further. You know what makes the ball go further in golf?
Speed,
swinging harder.
Swinging hard.
Club head speed. It's physics. The only thing that makes the ball go further off the bat or off the club head is club heads. It's speed or bat speed.
Yes.
If you want to hit it hard, you got to swing hard. Now, you're not going to see Luis Arraez get many home runs swinging at 60 miles an hour. Uh-huh. You're just not. But he can control it.
The other thing it does is you think about maybe some of the overthinking in baseball in the last 5 years or so about closers coming in with one pitch. And his pitch, of course, being the four-seam fastball that he just says, here it is. Hit it.
I dare you.
You don't want to really speed up somebody's bat at all. You don't. And the fact that these guys are going up there trying to shorten up, that's a good thing inherently. If you've got 198, 99 in the tank and you can locate it like Bobby Fastballs can, Just throw the thing. There's no, you don't need to. And we've been sitting here saying, man, somebody's going to time it out. Somebody's going to catch him for one. Not if they're going up trying to shorten up and put it in play. He's not, they're not going to beat you, man. It's just, you've got a really good pitch, a plus pitch. Just throw it.
And that's the thing with Suarez. Yes, he throws very hard and it's helpful, but he also has really good control, or he has this season. And that's actually even more important. You'd rather throw a couple of miles an hour slower if you can get the kind of control that he has. He's got up in the zone.
Down.
He's got down. He's got in, and he's got out. And that's why Suarez is just not hit hard. Plus, the fact that no one's swinging it hard against him.
It's very tough, I would imagine, to know he's going to throw a four-seamer. Could be up in the zone, could be down the zone. And to think to myself, I can't change my – I just need to go put my A swing on
it. If I see those numbers, though, I'm opposing manager and Suarez is coming in. I'm telling my guys, just close your eyes and swing as hard as you can. You know what? You probably will strike out, but if you connect, at least it will go a long way. None of these 60-mile-an-hour pop swings, though, against this guy.
You're playing
into his game by doing that.
Exactly right, man.
You're playing into his game.
It's a lot of overthinking in the game sometimes, man. It really simplifies when a guy like Robert Suarez comes out and says, I'm just going to throw my heater. Like, I'm going to locate it, I'm going to throw it, and good luck.
If you like those kind of numbers, you'll love Annie and Elston. They're coming up next. They always break it down by the numbers really well. I enjoy their 12 o'clock roundup segment where they talk about everything that happened. Like the Wave. We didn't even get to the Wave game yesterday. 1-1 draw against Gotham FC. They'll have all the update. USD clinching a WCC baseball title. They'll have that news for you coming up in the next 4 hours. Don't go anywhere. That's it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for Executive Producer, Imaging Director Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.